Chantel, thanks for making time available to chat to us. I'm looking forward to hearing your point of view and more about what you do at the Postgrad Funding Office. As a starting question, can you just briefly describe for our listeners what your role is at the Postgrad Funding Office, or as it's affectionately called, the PGFO?
Thank you, Jess. I am the information manager to the Postgraduate Funding Office, and I manage the prestigious fellowships, which include, amongst others, Travel Awards, Miscellaneous Merit Awards, December Awards, and the Postdoctoral Research Fellowships at the PGFO.
Great. Thank you very much for that summary, Chantel. So first, I want us to focus on prestigious fellowships that you've mentioned and possibly the Miscellaneous Awards. What do our postgraduates need to know about these fellowships and these calls, so to speak?
Okay, so the prestigious fellowships, there's quite a few information, so I'm going to go on point form. First is that not all of these prestigious fellowships are restricted to South African citizens. They open between July and November preceding the year of study and is not aligned to the university's admission closing date. So students seeking funding for 2021 must apply for funding this year in 2020. So just as an example, yesterday we opened the Harry Crossley Research Fellowship, and the closing date for that award is the 28th of September. So in order to be considered for 2021 funding by that fellowship, students must submit the application by the 28th of September 2020. In addition, interested students must apply for UCT admission for the relevant academic year. So again, applying preceding the year for 2021. On these fellowships, students must have obtained a grade point average of between 65% and more on the prior qualification. And because these fellowships are research-based, those applying must have an equal weighting of 50% or more on the research component. On most of these fellowships, candidates who apply for honors, masters, or doctoral support must enter the first year of that study. And so when a student submits their application, we must confirm to the donors that the candidate have indeed applied for admission to the university and have been accepted. Some of these awards are also have been established to provide aid to assist toward the final year of the study, whereas in other cases, it is available during the course of study as a candidate progresses, for example, from the second year to the third year of doctoral study. Now, where it is the case that a student enters the first year of postgraduate study and the conditions allow, the candidate may apply for renewal of the scholarship in the subsequent years if it does remain within the funding degree tenures. Now, the funding degree tenures are that we fund 1 year of honours, we fund 2 years of masters, and we fund 3 years of doctoral study. So just dependent on the rules of those fellowships, this being that the candidate have to enter the first year of study or can be allowed to apply for the scholarship in the second or third year, respectively, that candidate would then be allowed to apply for renewal of those scholarships if the conditions do allow. Most of these scholarships are open to various areas of study with across all faculties, and others are very specific. So when a student do take interest in any of the fellowships that we advertise, they'd have to take careful note of the areas of study and the faculties that is specified on the call. In addition, when applying for these scholarships, some of them are not available in the public domain. And what I mean by that is it's available to the faculty heads, the academic heads of departments, and the deans for postgraduate research to nominate candidates for award, and others are available via direct application. And the example I gave about the Crossley Research Fellowship is one of that, where a student is able to submit the application directly to our office for application. Apart from the fellowships that is available to us, we also have the Miscellaneous Merit Scholarships, and these scholarships are open opened by our office during the course of the year, and some of which are available to South African citizens and others to all others, or to all other students. And so the student will have to please make sure that they access this information via our notice boards or via our electronic websites. There's also a PDF that's available for download, which the student can read through to access the information for the various scholarships. These scholarships are also available via independent application and have its own conditions and eligibility criteria. So these are not so restricted to the candidate entering the first year of the honors, master's or doctoral degree. And it does allow for candidates to apply and be considered if they are entering the second year of their master's or second and third year of their doctoral respectively. The final closing dates are set for prestigious fellowships as it is for miscellaneous scholarships, and they cannot be moved because there are several steps in the selection process that involves donors who are abroad and operating in different time zones, and we have to be sensitive to that. So where our students do apply, our students have to be in contact with us if for any reason they're not able to submit their application timely, so that we can prepare the information accordingly for selection. And then the final category that I'd like to highlight under the prestigious suite of awards is the December scholarships. And the December scholarships have been established to promote the continuation of postgraduate study. And it is based on the candidate's final examination results. Now, normally this call is prepared by the Postgraduate Funding Office and then submitted to the faculties for nomination by the faculty boards. This process takes place during November each year, and the results is announced normally during January, March of the following year. Now, in this category of awards, there's no direct application from the student because it is by nomination, but the information of these awards that are available to the students are posted on our website and via our Handbook 14, which can be downloaded as well. So students can review this information, and if any of it interests them, they are welcome then to contact their department because it is by nomination.
Chantal, I just want to say thank you so much. That was such a hearty response. I'm sure it's quite confusing for students to make sense of all of this, so those summaries were great. And my next question is, what are the top three pieces of advice you have for someone considering to apply for one of the fellowships or scholarships that you've just told us about?
Thanks, Jess. Okay, so I agree. It's a lot of information to absorb. But apart from all of the other rules that I've mentioned earlier, this is the chance for a student to have decided that UCT is the place. And so what I would say to those students is there are very few awards that afford students the opportunity to personally present themselves via interview. So it is very important that when preparing the application that all relevant information is included. So if you allow me to explain, if for example a student takes a break in study, let's say between the years 2015 and 2017, and perhaps have engaged in other activities, when doing the application it is important to elaborate on those. Or if the candidate is required to have applied for admission and have done so but haven't received confirmation of it, it's important to make sure that that is stipulated in the application, because what's important here is to remember that the Postgraduate Funding Office and my area and all the other areas in our office, we apply the rule as it is laid down in the conditions or the bequests. And the next thing that I'd like to say in response to that is also that the candidate should be clear about the intention of study and the future direction. So not having the opportunity to present themselves personally to the donors or the selecting committee is you doing it through the written word when you present your application. And this is your opportunity to compete with all of the other candidates that are applying. And so this is you speaking for yourself and you making contact with us, keeping that lines of communication open, making sure that all the relevant information is represented in the application, gives us an opportunity to make sure that when we go through the information and have to present it to the donors, that in turn we speak in line with what has been presented to us by the student. Now, I know you said there was three things that I needed to speak about, but also this is just an invitation also to the student to make sure that if there's anything in the application process, in the conditions or the eligibility criteria that has been specified, If there's anything in there that you are unsure of or that you need assistance with, that you speak with us about it so that we can present that information accurately, that we can make sure that we will try our best during the assessment process that we retrieve as much information as possible, and that where information is unclear in the application, that we follow through on that. Because when the conditions are applied and the eligibility criteria is checked, we will be very strict on making sure that ineligible candidates are noted on the documentation, and the committee will be given insight into why the candidate is ineligible. And so it's very important, and I'd like again to invite you, if you are applying, to be in contact with us so that we can assist you through the process to make sure that you have all the information that is needed in the application process.
And Chantal, I just want to give you the opportunity, because I think you've highlighted some really key things. Can you just share how the postgraduates should reach out to you and your team?
Certainly. So the students are welcome to send us an email. Our email address for our area is fellowships@uct.ac.za. Alternatively, we can be contacted via telephone. Our telephone number is 021-650-2349. Or by email, you can request also a one-on-one session, which we can arrange for a one-on-one meeting via Microsoft Teams.
Okay, thanks very much for that clarity. And can you just confirm that the phone number is active even though campus is closed?
Yes, all of our telephone lines are active, Jess. We've got contacts on all of our staff members. But the contact number that we would prefer the students to use is 021-650-2349. And the person answering that telephone call is Nuran Kafar.
Thank you so much for that clarity, Chantal. So the next question I have is, from your point of view, is it a good idea for postgraduates to decide for themselves ahead of time whether or not they deserve a scholarship or fellowship?
Okay, so if I think of myself as a student, then definitely I would consider myself as deserving of a fellowship, because my studies are important and so is maintaining academic excellence. But for me personally, research is you developing your voice. And so, you know, there are different scholarships available, some of which excludes us because of the conditions of the award, and others are more flexible and more open, available to all faculties, available to all fields of study, etc. But my advice to any student is that when you have made the decision that UCT is the place, and that you've identified the degree that you want to do research on, I ask you to keep your options open while you build toward your cost of attendance at UCT. Now, there are of course certain awards that do not allow concurrent holding of awards, and but we don't pay attention to that at the application stage. We do that very much after acceptance. So we go through the selection process, and if a student is approved for an award, then we will consult the student and we will make the final decisions with the student. And that will then be the final decision that will be going forward. So while you are applying for scholarships, don't limit yourself. Apply for as many scholarships as you can, and then make the choice after award which of those you wish to accept. Now, remember also to take careful note when you are awarded, then the conditions of that award is specified. For example, that you cannot leave South Africa within a certain period of time, that you would need to produce academic progress reports, or that you will need to provide video presentations of your research. So when you do make the decision of the scholarships that you wish to accept, take that into consideration as well. Are you comfortable? Are you okay with providing all of that information? And if you are, then you may safely proceed with making the decisions on what you are comfortable to accept as a scholarship to support your study.
Great. Thank you so much for that, Chantal. My next question to you was actually going to be, can a postgraduate apply for more than one fellowship? And you've actually just confirmed that yes, indeed. And furthermore to that, you've actually encouraged it and you've said postgraduates should apply for more than one fellowship. And after they've been accepted for whatever award they do get accepted for in the end, that's at that point you sit with them maybe and you decide, okay, I'm going to say decline this one and accept this one. So that's really good. So the next question, or my next series of questions that I'd like to talk to you about, is the travel awards. Could you tell us more about these, what the travel awards are specifically for postgraduates and what they aim to do?
Okay, so in the travel awards section, we have three subcategories. The first one is the conference travel grants. And the intention of these awards is to provide opportunities for young researchers who are registered at UCT for doctoral and master's study to attend a conference. And these travel grants are available via a competitive application process, and it's to assist the cost of travel, conference registration and subsistence. Now, in principle, support for master's students is for local travel. The second subcategory that we have is the scholarships for international travel. And the intention of these awards is to provide opportunities to master's and doctoral candidates to do research or attend approved courses at an international university or institute for a minimum of 2 months to 10 months. Students who are awarded these scholarships are required to return to UCT to complete their research, and upon that return, submit travel reports demonstrating that they have indeed achieved their deliverables. Then the final subcategory that we have under the travel awards is what we refer to as outbound awards. Here we have bursaries that will contribute towards the study of recognized postgraduate degrees at universities in the UK, in Ireland, in the USA, Canada, and in any other recognized university in Europe. And other categories also available here is to support students who are duly registered at UCT and other universities where partnerships exist. Now, all of these awards have their own independent application form, their own closing dates as well. Here again, I just wish to remind our students to refer to our websites to download these applications and to submit them accordingly to the deadlines that have been specified on the course.
Chantal, thank you so much. And I think it's very important for me to ask, in terms of the travel awards, how has COVID-19 impacted them?
Okay, so the travel grants have all been put on hold indefinitely until the travel ban is lifted. And we are guided by the university's executive and government directives. So we just encourage our students at this moment to keep an eye on our notice boards and our websites for further information. And as soon as we finalize this item, and as students will be advised on how they need to apply. So the application forms that we have existing for the different categories remain unchanged, except that the process might change in terms of how they will apply and how they will submit the application to our office. So as I mentioned earlier, the students can either contact us via email and submit the applications in that way, or they can call us by telephone if there's any inquiries related to these. If they don't have immediate access to the website, they can certainly give us a call. If they do have internet access, they can email us and ask for a one-on-one call via Microsoft Teams.
Thank you so much for that, Chantal. And then before we end this interview, is there anything else that you'd like to say to our postgrad or prospective postgrad listeners?
Okay, so what I'd like to say is that my team and I wish you the very best with your future intentions, and we look forward to working and speaking with you about the funding opportunities that we have available in our area. I encourage you again, if you need any advice or assistance with your application forms, specific scholarship categories that you're interested in, even though they are closed, we are available to speak with you, and I invite you then to make contact via our email at fellowships@uct.uct.ac.za, or you may request a one-on-one session either via telephone to book for a session on Microsoft Teams. And then finally, also to refer to our downloadable PDF for more detailed information. And in addition to that, you can also access our website via the UCT's main website if you do want more information. So, Jess, I thank you very much for the opportunity to engage you and to respond to these questions and to be able to voice some opinions about funding opportunities in my area.
Thank you so much, Chantal. And I just want to also thank you for your time. And I also thank you for being so approachable. I think, you know, you and your team, it's an amazing opportunity for postgraduates who are might even be thinking about applying for funding. They see a call, they feel overwhelmed by the contents, and you've literally just said they are welcome to approach you and contact your team if they get stuck, even for a one-on-one session. So I think that is just a golden opportunity for students to take up. And yeah, thank you very much for everything that you've said.
Thank you, Jess, and I look forward to meeting with our students.